Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Tuesday edition, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School, brought to you the New School Way. We appreciate T. Farley, Bach, and Kenny Wilhite holding down like they always do on the black shirt, Bach in the black shirt with Kenny on Tuesdays. What's it called on Tuesday? What do they do?
Ooh, I don't know their official name.
It's K-Dub Tuesday or
K-Dub
something?
Tuesday, yeah. Something like that. It's a good time.
Yeah, it's always good. But this is Old School, the New School Way, coming at you 1040, or coming at you live from 1040 O Street on this sunny, cold day. In Nebraska, balmy 40 degrees. I know it's, we'll dive into a little bit of Huskers down there in Las Vegas. And obviously we'll talk about, what can and can't be done for college football. Obviously, John Calipari addressed it, and not just basketball wise, but I think it was in reaction to Baylor, but it can help football as well. We'll talk some Huskers. We'll talk Chip Kelly's going to Northwest. Now, you talk about usually coaching's going to play a match made in heaven. I do not see that, how that came about, but we'll talk about that. We'll let you guys light us up on the text line. Then we'll dive into some more NFL and Husker news at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. But we are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredients and Butcher Shop. 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andromat are the in Old Cheney are the three locations in Lincoln, 168th and Maple up there in the O. So we appreciate them and all their support, obviously allowing us to continue to bring you some, obviously some good news come Wednesday night, but then more importantly, express our opinions throughout the year on the airwaves. So, Austin,
Jay,
the big to do, what to not to do, obviously Kenny and. Kenny and T. Farley got into it with Bach and what should be done. Obviously, I think the basketball world is up in arms because Baylor signed a former NBA player in midseason. He's going to play. And John Calipari, who has the bandwidth to hold court, even though he's at Arkansas, really just laid it out there, and he had some good ideas. Look, you have a one-time free transfer, right? And I think that's good. And he said, listen, if you were, if you somehow come from overseas and you join the team at midpoint, you can't play. If you need the first semester of the year to get academically eligible, then you can play. I think it's very simple. That's great. That's easy. The easy fix. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be done in football. I think it's a little bit harder to transfer halfway through the season, but same thing in football. One free transfer. If you transfer after that, unless it's a unique circumstance and legit, which some of them are and have been, and this is how we got here because they were taking so long on legitimate reasons to transfer. I could think about the young man at North Carolina who it was a family issue. He had lost both of his parents and his grandfather, and that was the reason he wanted to move back to North Carolina, and he missed four games. I think it could help with football. I think they need to try to implement a freshman rookie a salary cap. And what I mean by that is you come in as a freshman, you could even do it at certain positions. This is what you own. This is the small percentage of what you can take up as far as revenue sharing. Mm-hmm. And then if you're able to go out there and legitimately market yourself, at the true NIL, well, then that's fine.
And that's going to be hard to do for the majority of freshmen entering college.
Right. And then that actually in a lot of ways, brings down the amount of deals that the clearinghouse has to go through.
Yeah.
Because you can have a separate one for the freshman, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe you have a certain cap that they can raise after that. And you don't want to really stop anybody from doing that. But being an impact freshman or a freshman versus a freshman coming in making $2 or $3 million is not even close to realistic. None of them has came, none of them has stepped on any campus in the United States and done that outside of Jeremiah Smith, who actually probably is underpaid.
Jeremiah Smith, who would have gotten to Miami had they won more when he was in high school, right. He said the other day.
Right. So you think there's unique cases of guys like that. And if they, you know, you could put some incentives in it for a guy like that. Most of the freshmen need standard contracts, even if they end up being good, because, and you could put the incentives in there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if a freshman, and it could be realistic, and you can find a way to really bump them up after that, because if you hit certain benchmarks, you're actually playing really well. I think you run into a problem when you have guys that haven't proven themselves making so much money. I'm not saying they shouldn't get paid. How you're getting paid and who's getting paid probably is the biggest problem.
Sure.
And it falls, look, if they're dumb enough to give you the money, be smart enough to take it. That's my advice to you.
Just on GP?
If they're dumb enough to give you more than that, what your value is, you cannot be, you have to be smart enough to take it. And then, you know, then you have to be prideful enough to go earn it. Yeah.
That part.
Yeah. That's that part. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think things get a little hairy. And so I think what they, you know, if they want to make a change, if they want to try to have this really be a long-term part of college football, you're going to have to, because you'll run into donor fatigue. You'll start selling universities to private equity. And then you'll just be just a mercenary league. It won't even be college football anymore. Actually, I think more eyes will go down to like the FCS and what they do. And because, you know, that'd be true football. Mm-hmm. And so you could lose your place at the table or your piece of the pie in a short time if you don't handle your business as far as how the business is done.
Yeah, who's getting paid, when they're getting paid, how they're getting paid. I think those are all pretty key issues. And you mentioned at the start there, a lot of this is stemming from the James Nagy deal with Baylor, right? Scott Drew is unapologetic. He shouldn't apologize, no, right? Make your team better. Go do it. But Matt Norlander, CBS Sports, asked Dan Hurley for a quote. And it was a pretty good one. And this is one of those.
You know who to ask then.
Right. This is one of those.
You know exactly who to ask.
The heartbreaking, the worst person you know just made a great point. You know, that meme. That's kind of what this is for me and Dan Hurley. I'm just going to skip to kind of the middle of it because this is where I think that the crux of the issue can be, Jay. Dan Hurley says this, but I would say my biggest thing is who's looking out for the shield, the college basketball shield? Who's protecting college basketball, one of the most special things we have in sports, college basketball, March Madness, the second biggest annual sporting event every year. We need a commissioner. We need rules. We need guidelines. Now, obviously, that's Dan Hurley talking about college basketball, but to your point, it can apply to college football as well. Who's looking out for the shield, the brand, the game? We talk about it in the NFL all the time.
Yeah.
32 owners, one commissioner. Pretty much before anything else, you got to worry about how it reflects on the shield. Is this going to smudge it? Is this going to dent it? Is this going to ding it? Is this going to scratch it? Is there going to be mud on the shield? If that's the case, the NFL's really not going to let it fly.
Yeah.
You have a lot of room to operate, make some plenty questionable decisions, run your franchise the way that you want, until it reflects poorly on the league. Not that the league itself has been squeaky clean, but it tries to present itself that way. There's no shield in college. Mm-mm. There's not. Not even close.
There's not even a shield locally.
No, not anymore. Yeah. Not even at the conference. The Big Ten would try to put one up, but that hasn't worked. The SEC's tried to put one up, but even they've expanded a little bit, and people would question how squeaky clean that shield is. There's no shield at all for these teams and these schools, these programs that are, you know, kind of cast adrift in the wind, floating, just hoping to hang on to your point, whatever piece of the pie they can get. I'm not one for, you know, huge centralized power, but there's a reason that the NFL is thriving. There's a reason the NFL is succeeding. It's because everyone can still get theirs and everyone can still benefit when they're working at least somewhat together and some level of cohesion and unity toward a common goal. Now, getting to that in college football, is going to be much trickier because there's not just 32 stakeholders.
There's
130 some at the FBS level right now on top of FCS. You'd have to nuke the whole system from orbit and try again. I don't think we want to get there, but exactly.
Too much money.
And that's the
been
point
spent.
About the shield. These people, these power brokers, care about what's best for them, their university, their institution, not what's the best for the sport. I'm not saying the NFL always cares about what's best for the sport. Roger Goodell certainly has his own personal interests, as do all 32 owners. But they at least give the illusion of working for a common goal and making the league stronger, or B, have enough opportunities under the NFL umbrella, under the guise of the shield, to pursue their own interests.
It's going to be interesting if they do anything.
Yeah.
And how they go about it, because you know what you have to do, but I don't even know if you can do it in college, is having like an NFL or NCAA football committee. And will it be over just football? Will it be over the, you know, the revenue generating sports, or will there be separate ones for basketball? Who would that be, and how much difference, and would it be continuity? Because if you have a different rules for different sports, how does that work inside one university, right? Mm-hmm. Michigan State football versus Michigan State basketball, right? Or Nebraska football versus Nebraska volleyball. So their best bet is to implement some structure on the incoming guys and outgoing guys as far as the portal. Slow that down as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And then get some realistic guidelines into revenue sharing / salary cap. And then address the NIL and the restrictions to do that. And then obviously get a legitimate clearinghouse or business or company that they have enough bandwidth and people power to really, for the intake and outtake of these NIL deals, so you can regulate it, but then also you can keep the process going and you're learning along the way as well. So it's always interesting to see what they're going to do. Most likely they're probably not going to do anything. They're just going to let everybody complain because they figured, like, you know what, you know, any press is good press. And right now they got a lot of bad press. And as long as the games are played and the games are exciting, they're willing to deal with all the stuff that's happening, you know, in or outside of the buildings. But that's very short-sighted, like it was when they didn't address pay for play or, you know, whatever, you know, before the NIL, before it had to go to Supreme Court. You had 2 years to address this.
Yeah.
You chose to walk the dog on it. Well, the owner came home and you didn't get what you liked. Now you're sitting there where nobody knows who the NCAA is, where they're at, and who's really calling the shots. Let alone if you wanted to have some sort of committee, and then obviously, you know, that everybody wants Nick Saban to do so. You know, besides Nick Saban, who would it be? Would it be regionally? Would it be, you know, having a figurehead outside of the Big Ten commissioner be the mouthpiece for a Big Ten to make sure everybody's checking the, you know, Big Ten's checking the SEC to make sure they're playing, you know, ball the right way and not cheating, vice versa? Or the best way you could blow it up is just do conference realignment
again.
Whether you do it, split the country up in four league or four divisions and cut it down to the most competitive teams, both financially, you know, obviously on the field and wins and losses, mm-hmm. and brand power, and have your top 40 teams or 45 teams. You could even do 56 teams, I'm sure. And then you let them go at it right there. Then you change the playoff system. You change the bowl system. You start to incorporate some group of five and FCS schools into their own playoffs. Sell that bowl package. Then obviously there's some revenue sharing there, you know, as far as the bowl games, the more money and the more exclusivity, then obviously you can obviously spread the wealth.
Yeah.
You get all the way down to Division II and Division III. Mm-hmm. That would take some willpower, brain power, and I like to say want to get something done. Because everybody right now is eating off that fat steak.
Right.
And so they're real comfortable. And so it's going to be interesting to see what they do or don't do, you know, moving forward.
I think the want to factor is the key here, because the solutions are there. Not perfect ones by any stretch of the imagination, but you can concoct some that'll work. Again, it'll take starting from scratch, which is going to be incredibly difficult to do. But Jay, for as much lip service as being paid to, college football needs reform. College sports need reform. That this isn't healthy. This can't keep going. You don't necessarily hear that from the power brokers. Or if you do, it's with their own interests in mind. This part is broken because it's not benefiting us right now. I go back to the Shield, right? The Shield is the league. It's the sport in general. It's also the fans. You know, the NFL has found a way to make it a sustainable business model. Mm-hmm. Is college sports heading that direction? Doesn't feel like it.
No, but this is how. But you got to think, if you really want some change, all right, people got to stop going to the games, like the big games. Stop donating. Mm-hmm. That will get their attention. Yeah. Right now, it's lip service. Thank you for the check. Mm-hmm. So really, let's say this. Say you were cutting lawns and you were doing half the lawn, but you were getting full pay and a tip.
Don't worry, I'll come back for that next piece. I just ran out of
gas. And they kept buying you a new lawnmower, so you didn't have to do any maintenance. Right. And giving you gas, but you only cutting half the grass. What's the incentive to make the grass, you know, like we talked about one time, you know, like in Major League Baseball stadiums, the groundskeepers take a pride in, you know, having the lines cross one way and then the other. You know, it's part of like when they turn on the TV, it pops, right? Mm-hmm. Heck, Austin Orman's out this week. I'll just let the weeds grow. He'll be all right. I'll still get paid.
Right.
Matter of fact, mm-hmm. I'm demanding to get paid. Mm-hmm. And if you don't pay me, don't worry about it. I'm going to cut your neighbor's yard and he's going to give me even more money. Mm-hmm. You know, if you could get that, you know, under control, then you'll get some realistic conversations. You will get actually better play on the field because that would be a trickle down effect from the pressure that would be on the administration, coaching staff, and then obviously down to the players. And it's good pressure. And then you actually would be more like a business model. You don't perform, bye.
See ya.
Now, not cut from your scholarship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just over here doing what we're doing, watching. And, you know, if you're not dedicated and all that, but I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not mad at Coach Drew. You know, my old high school teammate was, he just recently stepped down. He's got a pretty, you know, tough health battle he's going to take on. So I talked to him about it. I was checking up on him and was talking to him about it. And their team meeting, it kind of went like, hey, look, this is an opportunity. This is the NCAA's fault. We'd be dumb not to do it. Same thing. If somebody's going to pay somebody, a 17-year-old kid, $2 or $3 million, and I'm his agent or his friend, mm-hmm. I was like, did you sign the contract yet? Don't come talking to me tomorrow. You sign the contract right now. Same thing. If you can get, you know, a buddy, you know, back from wherever he came from, and then he can play. Mm-hmm. 7 feet tall with that type of experience,
right?
Fred, why you ain't go get him? Right, you know what I mean? I mean,
he was actually asked about that on a CBS Sports Day, and he said, "Well,
Fred,
yeah,
what'd he say
about the rules?" He was—I don't know if he was asked about it or the host talked about it, but the rationale against it was, well, your team's built on chemistry, and it's hard to find in college sports, and adding a guy like that from there midseason would probably be tough. It's different when you add like Isaac Copeland at midseason or Derek Walker back. At least they'd been around the team for a while. You know, we used to have that midseason transfer rule, right? In basketball, where you got to wait till, you know, after Christmas and then you can play. That's kind of what Baylor's doing here, except this guy's off the street, hasn't been with the team or anything like that. And back to that Hurley quote I read before the first portion of that, he says, I was not aware of the loopholes in it. My biggest thing I would say is listen, player empowerment's great. Players have to do what they can to make sure they're doing what's in their best interest. The coaches are obviously always going to do what's in their best interest. If they can grab a player from somewhere, it's gone on forever. It's what you do. You make your team better until you get punished for it. And right now, I mean, Charlie Baker's the NCAA president put out a statement, you know, we're not going to allow this. If you've signed a professional, you know, contract or an NBA contract specifically, you know, we're not going to grant you your eligibility.
So that's great. You're going to still play?
Well, that's great to say. But Jay, what leg does the NCAA have to stand on right now? The Supreme Court took him to task. 9-0.
Yeah.
You're unconstitutional. You're monopolizing. You're antitrust litigation like crazy. The NCAA is tired of going to court. So it's great for Charlie Baker to say this, but are they actually going to have the cojones to say, no, sorry, you were drafted and you played professionally overseas, we can't let you play.
Yeah.
Good luck with that, with the way things have been going recently.
Yeah, you already set the precedent, and he can just delay the outcome of it. It's great. It's great because you're taking some heat. Because if you didn't take the heat because of this move, everybody's like, oh, man, that's a great job by Coach Drew. Man, he got a diamond in the rough, and he knows the loophole. Maybe I'm going to start doing it.
Yeah.
Start sending scouts everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody said anything in a negative light. You wouldn't have heard that statement. So it lets you know that he really wasn't standing on business. He was just standing by the side, decided to get active after activity came to his doorstep. And so
yeah,
that's part of the problem. It has been part of the problem with the whole NIL thing. But before we go to break, you know who I really blame? You know who really is behind this?
Ooh.
You know who's at fault right now?
Let me think.
And there's a Nebraska connection.
Ooh. There's Nebraska. Your boy, QB1. Sam Keller. I knew it.
Sam Keller. You came here, started a storm, came and was supposed to be Joe Montana in the red for the Big Red. And all you did was bring chaos through every university and every high school kid that's trying to go to a university, play football, basketball, or whatever for the rest of their life.
It's Sam Keller and it's Kane Coulter.
And before that, Ed O'Bannon.
Ed O'Bannon, sure.
Well, I give him a break because he was really good on that NCAA basketball game I used to play on Sega Genesis and PlayStation.
The important stuff.
Yeah, we'll give him a break. So, anyways, speaking of breaks, Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, Old School on a Tuesday. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Tuesday, a little bonus time here. Considering half the crew is out in Vegas. Hopefully they are having good luck on the craps table or whatever they do. Blackjack craps or whatever they try to catch their luck in. I think with this amount of many people in Vegas, I'm sure that they have tuned the slot machines to not have a winner all week. And so, but they are making some money down there with Nebraska fans. Definitely is going to have the stadium down there, you know, painted red, you know, supporting our Huskers against the Utah Utes. Obviously, we had some news coming out of was it Salt Lake City?
Mm-hmm.
The All-American pass rusher, John Henry Daly. Listen, anybody with three first names, you know your problem, right? Your boy, your old buddy just been growing up, you know, throwing hay bales and swinging axes. 12 sacks on the year, 48 tackles, second 17 and a half tackles for loss. He was a big problem. This comes also on the heels of his partner in crime, Logan Fano, whose brother is a potential top five pick as offensive tackle. I think he's high on everybody's board, but Logan is a defensive end. He declared for the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are really good. I watched them on tape. They got a really good defensive line. They have depth, but those two jump out because they're big, strong, athletic. They can move. They're physical against the run. So that bodes well for Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Four of their top players are out. But I will say this. The two tackles are out, but the two guys behind them are seniors. So it's a very, you know, old group, and there's continuity there. They've been running the same system forever. You have a X-factor at quarterbacks. You have Dan Pierre, and I think they're
first freshman. Ficklin.
Yeah, Ficklin is the freshman who's probably one of the fastest guys on the team.
Sneaky fast?
Yeah, he's kind of like old Colin Kaepernick back at University of Nevada Fest. And they got two capable running backs and obviously more than capable receivers. So Nebraska still has their work cut out for them, even though some of their bell cow players are not going to, you know, have chosen not to play. I mean, Utah is a program that's built themselves by developing players. And when you develop players to play at the level at the four that I mentioned, then you know, you have some depth there. So so you would expect with he was at Brandon Scully's first go round as a head coach, they will be ready to go and definitely prepared for the challenge that Nebraska presents. And it's up to Nebraska to present a challenge that they can't withstand. And that's where you want to see the growth in the last month in Nebraska. Physicality and mentality is going to be huge. Well, it could be mentality and physicality because I think it's probably more mental that leads to more physical, and more importantly, it's spiritual because if you believe in it, you become more spiritual about it, then you last all game long.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, the last 2 weeks didn't end well. It's a chance to beat a top 15 team. You know, you beat a top 15 team. The offseason is different. Recruiting's different. The vibe's different. But more importantly, once you finally get over beating a ranked opponent in the top 15 team, you know, it's for, you know, obviously with Matt Rhule and everybody else, they don't go back and say, like, 2 years from now, oh, you've only beat top 15 teams, and one of them lost four players to the pros. They don't say that. So they just say, look, you wins and losses, just like when Nebraska was getting beat up early in our tenure here in the Big Ten. They were like, we beat Nebraska. That gave a lot of coaches bonus money at the end of the year and provided job security for a lot of assistants as well. So Nebraska's got to take it upon themselves to try to find an advantage to their disadvantage and then continue to grow that. If you don't, then you're going to be in for a dogfight, and already are, because no matter what happens, they still the line keeps getting bigger.
Yeah.
Because what is it at now? It's still 13.5?
Yeah.
Yeah. In a bowl game, that means that they either think it's going to be a straight blowout or it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Nebraska probably needs to make this look somewhat like the Holiday Bowl against USC.
Yeah.
You know,
you got to make this into, yeah, but you can't, though. If you want to get into, a dogfight?
Well, that was 45-42. I'm saying if Utah's going to score, it's got to come on big runs, right? They want to beat you up. They want to maul you. And yes, it's obviously demoralizing giving up long touchdown runs. Shoot, look at the Rams last night, what Bijan Robinson did. Yeah. We'll have to have a conversation about that at some point. But if you're Nebraska and you're probably physically outmatched up front, even with the two tackles out, you can want to compete all you want. But if you're going to give up rushing touchdowns, I'd rather give them up from 50 than 5, because then it lets your offense put your foot on the gas, right? If Utah's going to score fast, you know, you got to score fast. You got to keep up. I think that's probably where Dana Holgorsen is at his best, where a free-flowing Nebraska offense could be at its best. And if you can just, you know, take one big punch as opposed to, you know, 10 little punches, shake it off real quick. Yeah. I don't know. Obviously, you don't want to give up points. And
you want to compete, but you see what I'm saying? Being realistic in how you want to approach the game. I mean, these bowl games depend on, I mean, look at North Texas, San Diego State. Sometimes, you know, as hard as you practice and hopefully you wanted to play, you know, your just knife isn't sharpened enough to, you know, handle your, you know, play up to your previous capabilities or standards. So it'll be interesting to see the adjustments, right? You got a brand new staff, right? Everybody's new. Everybody on offense is new. Everybody in defense and obviously special teams is obviously a byproduct of the first two. And like I said yesterday, it's because you have new coaches on both sides of the ball. It changes the dynamics of the holdover coaches.
Yeah.
It doesn't change the responsibilities, but it changes the dynamics. Right? It changes the communication. It changes the expectation. You might have a coach to feel he has to do more because you're just new, right? You have to learn how to take whatever you call and marry it to what Coach Wade wants to run or what he thinks is going to be effective against Utah and vice versa on defense. And so, you know, there's a lot of moving parts, but the only two knowns is Nebraska and Utah is going to show up, and it's going to be a battle of wills, but it's going to be interesting to see what this new kind of like, what this month was like for Nebraska. PJ Lateef, you know, I mean, it's a opportunity of a lifetime. I don't think it's a make or break, but it's a great opportunity for him. Ton of potential. Just last year, you know, alone, he was just coming in as a true freshman, wet behind the ears, and just throwing the ball around, just trying to get used to being around the guys. Now he's, you know, potentially going to lead him to another bowl game back-to-back years as well, against a tough veteran-led defense. And this is what happens when you lose Logan Fano, who was a, you know, 6'5", 260-pound junior. But you got Alex Coward, who's a 6'3", 250 sophomore. And then you got Akili Viamahi, 6'4", 302 in the middle, right? Graduate transfer. John Lelea, 6'5", 285. And Cash Dillon, redshirt freshman, 6'5", 252. That's where you're going to have to make your hay against Utah. Is that you got to win the line of scrimmage with their four down. Mm-hmm. We got to win that one. It can't be a stalemate. We got to win it.
Yeah.
Because where they're really pretty decent is on the second level. Jonathan Hall, 6'1", 230. Landon Barton, 6'5", 240. So that's where your thumper comes from. But he can pick him up, put him down, and all the defensive backs, all five of them, including the nickel, are juniors or above. So that lets you know that they've all played together, got continuity, and they know the system. So they know what Coach Scully expects defensively. So that lets me know you won't trick him.
Yeah.
Now you got to beat him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that how you do that is obviously I think Utah's averaging 6.1 yards per carry.
Woo!
I have it right here. 6.1 yards per carry. Opponents are averaging 5. So.
Gettable.
Yes.
Gettable.
But Emmitt Johnson not playing. So how do you juggle having three or four running backs get enough carries so you can evaluate them?
Mm-hmm.
On the job competition, but then also try to win the game at probably your most important position right now in your offense.
Yeah.
Skill position.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arguably most important. I mean, offensive line, you at least know the names. Running back, too. We've talked about them, but we've seen enough of those offensive linemen in action because of the injuries throughout the course of the year. Wide receiver's pretty settled. Tight end is settled for this game, and seems like TJ Latif's going to get the start tomorrow. So that leaves running back really as the question on the offensive side, Jay. And I think the age-old answer to how do you get enough carries is you stop Utah. You keep the ball in your hands.
You want to get two more possessions.
That'd be ideal.
Ideally.
Right? Whether it's turnover sounds great, whether it's smart, end-of-half management, right? Win the toss, defer, double dip to end the first half and start the second half and not give Utah the ball there in those middle 8 or middle 12 like you like to refer to. That's the way to do it. Let's say that Nebraska would have averaged 5 yards per carry against Utah with Emmitt Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason Nebraska can't still be at 4.5. I think we've seen enough from Isaiah Mosey and Mekhi Nelson to say there's something in both those guys. They've both had their moments, but neither one of them has had, more than 3 carries in the game?
Yeah.
This year, I think. It's kind of crazy how little
limited
Nebraska...
flashes.
More touches,
yeah.
But this is where, sure, they're young, they're inexperienced, but it might be a good opponent for them to ease in, not ease in, that's the wrong way to
break
do it, but break them in a little bit against a defense that gives you something in the run game. So sure, maybe they won't, max out at the top of the run, or maybe they'll miss a cut here or a read there. But if this was a Utah team allowing 3.5 yards per carry instead of 5 yards per carry, you feel like it's a tough task and Nebraska is going to be lucky to average 2.5 per carry. But if they're allowing 5, you'd like to think that you've seen enough from Nelson, Mosey, and some of your backup offensive linemen that you can still, at the very least, average over 4.
Yeah, be formidable.
Yeah.
Be able to, and if you just got to get hat on hat, and then you got to put the onus on the running backs to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to force it. Obviously you guys aren't going to have the same experience that Emmitt's had, and so you got to take what you can get, and if you get a chance to make a big play, that's when you really got to, show your stuff and really separate yourself as far as in that competition. And you mentioned more possessions. And real quick, when you look at, the run attack, right, what they have, and obviously, mm-hmm. Led by Parker, and then you got Dampier, and then you got Ficklin. So that's where it's at. It's though that triangle of trust right there, 1,000 yards pretty much, 750 and 527. Both of the last two runners with 752 yards and 527 yards are your two quarterbacks. So you're getting quarterback run and different types of quarterback runs between Dampier and Ficklin.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where it's the most important. You always look at the passing game. Okay, you got Ryan Davis and Dalen Bentley and then J.J. Buchanan. So Dalen Bentley is their 6'4", 260-pound tight end.
Woo!
He's their second leading receiver with 42 catches, 514 yards, 5 TDs, and 12 yards a carry, or 12 yards a catch, averaging 42 yards a game. Okay, that's the key to their offense. Why? Because if you want to impose your will and think that you can lay in the weeds long enough to really gain the advantage against Nebraska late by your offensive line play. Mm-hmm. Some inexperienced guys as well starting together continuity wise for Utah. Then you have to have that outlet or that X factor at the second level. Mm-hmm. Potentially Javon Rice might be out. So you got Shavers, Watson, Trent, Bauer.
Merritt, or is he done?
I don't know about him, but I know those three.
Okay.
Because that's who played against Iowa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's where you feel like you got 6'4", 260 pounds. Can we continue to make the chains move? Then that puts more pressure on Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Then we're doing what they want to do to us. I think Utah would be okay with less possessions if they're running at the clip that they're running at.
Oh, yeah.
That means this mm-hmm. game, the game will be over at 4:30.
Right.
Right. So it's going to be interesting, man. I mean, look, we're right here. The game had been going on for an hour, so you're probably just in the middle of the second quarter tomorrow, 3:40, yeah. Hour 20, approaching halftime probably rapidly. Mm-hmm. The hay's in the barn, man. It'd be interesting to see because I think today was the last day of media availability, right?
Yeah.
Do we have any quotes?
Not recorded, but yeah. Matt Rule did speak.
Yeah, so I think let's take a break and come back and read a couple of those. And then at the top of the hour, we'll continue to address those, and we'll talk a little bit of NFL action because I think the Bijan Robinson thing was really, really good for Atlanta. The bad thing was that they didn't run, give him the ball the last three downs of the game. Mm.
But they won, Jay.
They won. But you didn't win without him busting off 93 yards in the NFL untouched.
Yeah.
And he's been your most consistent and best offensive weapon all year long. Mm-hmm. But quick break. We'll read some quotes, give some thoughts. You guys give us your thoughts as well. Jay Foreman, Austin Norman on a Tuesday. We'll be right back.
Watch.
What up, last segment of the 3 o'clock hour, Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, old school and new school way. A lot of stuff going on in Vegas, man. I mean, I'm just trying to think back, Austin. So I redshirted. The only pressure I felt when we beat Miami or were going to play Miami was to make sure when I broke curfew, I didn't get caught. And then I made it back before. And
who are your lookouts? Who are your scouts?
No comment.
No comment. No statute of limitations expiration yet?
No, I ain't doing
okay,
that.
Okay.
Yeah, but
okay.
We had a good time.
Biggest thieves. I respect it.
We had a good time. And then I was just more nervous because, hey, I'm a freshman. We're undefeated. Let's see if we can go beat Miami, win a national championship. That'd be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, everything else is, gravy after this. And so, but it was a lot different for me when we were about to play Florida. The circumstances and the stakes were a lot higher.
Yeah.
And I didn't sleep a wink. I probably slept more than I probably are giving myself credit for. And what reason I'm saying is there's a lot of young athletes now or young players on this roster, pretty much every single one of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not a guy on this team. And I said it last year. I wish they would have probably listened a little bit more, obviously by some of their off-season activities. But there's not a guy on this team at the bowl game. I'm trying to think that doesn't have a lot to prove.
Well, I mean, you're coming off a 7-5 regular season. I mean, who on that team lived up to full expectations?
Maybe like Hunter, and then obviously Emmett's gone and that. But
I haven't even given Isaiah Hunter that pass. He had a few big games, but yeah. He kind of no-showed down the stretch.
Yeah. But, that's obviously...
He was good.
Dylan wasn't in, so I'm going to say up until then, he was pretty...
Yeah.
No, USC game, I'm not really sure what happened, but, otherwise, he was pretty... He was a bright spot,
But again, he would be a bright spot, he was good, but he still has something to prove.
Yeah, but and I'm sure he wants bigger things, too. Mm-hmm. You want looking at maybe he wants to be the number one receiver, right?
I picked him for my bowl fantasy team, so you better have something to prove. Yeah,
you better get that underdog going too. So
I'm not putting money on it.
Hey,
between friends,
we can do this, Austin. You know what I'm saying? I might pick your brain a little bit so we can get it to. But there's not a guy on this team that doesn't have a lot to prove, which is a great thing. But for them personally, boy, I swear, I guarantee you're not sleeping. Because I'm not sure, I'm hoping these young athletes, these young guys on the football team are just have I hope this year did one thing and one thing only. Open your eyes to awareness of what really, what the reality and what's rational, rational behavior. Mm-hmm. And behavior in the sense of, yes, everything that you're in Disneyland over there and everything is great. But the reality is once football season starts and the ball starts getting kicked off, none of that stuff in the offseason matters. The only thing that matters is what you do on Saturdays or whenever you play.
Yeah.
And this pressure is not going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So the expectations and standards are going to be extremely high. With that being said, the one thing I think, I hope that they realize, like, okay, this is for real. This is like, I thought I was ready to play big time football. This is for real. And use this last month to come out and then obviously play, you know, put on a better show against more than capable opponent. So without, you know, a month off. And so you should be looking forward to this. This shouldn't be a game that, you know, where I'm assuming they had a lot of fun during bowl week, where the bowl, where that pours over into tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
I mean, it's the right kind of fun, right? Yeah. You're there for the bowl game. You're there for football. You've had 15 practices between the end of Iowa and now. And let's not pretend like the vibes were great around that building toward the end of the year.
Yeah.
The way November went, Nebraska goes 1-3. And you had a bye week to sit on the win over UCLA. But you lose a good one against USC. UCLA kind of climb back in that game, even though you end up winning it bye week. And then you get steamrolled for 2 weeks. I mean, this is a team that probably needed some fun, you know, rediscovering maybe a little bit of the joy of football, being in camaraderie and teammates. So, okay, take that fun that you had, the enjoyable experiences, and remind yourself that, hey, we get one last chance to play football.
Yeah.
We got nothing to lose. Let's lay it out there on the line.
And that's why you should be thinking we're dangerous.
Yeah.
You have nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be thinking if I was a young player, I'm going to talk as much junk as possible. I'm going to try to make every play as possible. That's exactly.
Just make sure you talk junk on Utah's side of the field so coach doesn't hear, right?
Oh, no, I'm talking to everybody. They get away with everything now. You can dance and everything. I'm acting a fool, right? But that's where they're at. So, you know, it's a very interesting time. And I think at the top of 4 o'clock hour, we get into some quotes. I want you to sit on this, Austin. I want to ask you, and you said something that was really interesting. It's like, oh, maybe you needed this time to have the fun and get the joy back in football. Do you think here, just in Nebraska, whether it's media kind of like media driven, maybe media driven or just kind of like situational driven. Do you think it's made these kids like too sensitive and kind of soft? You know, even to the simple thought, this is even before Coach Rule. You know, you had guys that were pretty prominent, like that had no idea what they were saying when they were saying it. Like, we prefer not to play at 11. This is way before Coach Rule.
Yeah.
This is when I first moved back here. Mm-hmm. You're like, we come if you want to. I don't know if we're going to play good at 11. I mean, you remember hearing that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then then you hear some guys, which we thought was an honor to play in night games. Oh, we don't really like night games because we just want to get the game over with.
Yeah, that's
so. Do you think that is a byproduct of constant coverage, constant pats on the back, constant like moving the goalposts over not just years? Is 10 years a decade?
It is a decade.
Decades.
It could be. I don't know. I would hope it's just a couple individuals making some comments they didn't think through.
It's different generations.
But yeah, I mean, it could be. I would say I would believe maybe more the constant coverage and scrutiny in the social media era has maybe, you know, taken some of that joy out of football, where it was, you know, always for the love of the game. But do kids these days, is the best way I can phrase it, do they enjoy the work, right? Mm-hmm. You know, do they can be hard workers, they can show up every day, but do they do it because they have to, because they want to? I mean, you said it, you have to want to play football. You have to love football with no guarantee that it'll ever love you back. But Pat Stewart talked, and I think there's some really interesting stuff from him in a piece by The Athletic. You know, he wants a bunch of good guys on the roster that are great teammates that love the game of football.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he thinks a Nebraska football player is. And you can show up to work and have a good attitude about it and not love it. You know, does constant coverage, does social media, does, you know, being the king of the castle take some of the joy, the love of the grind out of it?
Or does it lessen the want to?
Think on that. Okay.
Think on that. We're going to take a quick break. I want everybody on to think on that. Does it make you like, I'm not working, like on a cold day today? I used to be in the dorms. The dorms barely had some heat. So I got to go over here to the stadium to get warm, right? But when you're living in a nice crib with probably a nice car, mm-hmm. yeah, I might chill on a day when it's like 40 degrees and a little overcast. That sun really ain't helping me out. Chill today. I'll do that tomorrow. Anyways, Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, quick break. We'll be right back, top of 4 o'clock hour.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Norman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.